Hello, everybody. This is Paul Neeson, and welcome to the show. Today, I want to talk about important biblical information that many people are missing because somebody asked me the other day, they said, how are the churches there in West Palm Beach, Florida, or South Florida? And I basically told them the truth. The truth is, they're not good. They're not doing too well because there aren't any churches that are teaching the Bible. And this person that asked me this question said, how so? How can it be in today's time that people aren't teaching the Bible? I said, look, all I know is I go to the church and I know my Bible and they're not teaching what's in the Bible. As a matter of fact, many of them are teaching against it. And this fella found it hard to believe, and most people find it hard to believe. But I challenge anyone listening right now to turn their Bibles and start reading their Bibles and then go to church and see what they're teaching and does it measure up or not. There are many things in the scriptures that the church isn't talking about. There are many things that we're commanded to do as believers of Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, that many people or many churches are not teaching. And I would say the doctrine often goes against it, excusing people from living a holy life so they can live according to the world's ways. And that's what's happening. You see, our flesh, folks, desire to live the world's ways according to the way the world is or the way they've always lived. And in their own eyes, they determine what is right or wrong, what is good or bad. And I came out of the New Age movement, which believed there were many different paths to be salvation. And then when I got saved and I started to believe that there's only one gate, it's a narrow gate, and that gate is Yeshua, the one we call Jesus, I said, that's the only way to be saved, and now I understand. But the New Agers that believe there's many different paths, they believe, they look at all these different religions around the world, let's say all the popular religions, all the belief systems around the world, and they take what they liked sounding the best of each one of those, and they create their own belief system. And that's what a lot of people out there do today. They create their own belief system based on what they feel is good and what they feel is bad. You see, they have no moral guideline or code like the Bible or anything else. There's no unity. There's just each person doing what they think is right. In the Bible, it says there's a path before each person that seems right but ends in death. Now, we're all going to die, folks, physically, but that's not talking about a physical death. That's talking about a spiritual death. And a physical death is going to happen, too, because the scriptures are clear that an evil, wicked person will die before their time. Of course, when people hear that, they think right away, well, I'm saved from that because I'm not an evil person. A lot of people that are not believers and following the words of our Creator say, I can't see our Creator sending somebody like me to hell because I'm a good person. But they're good according to their own ways. But when we measure up what good is according to the scriptures, it's very clear in 1 John 3:4, where it talks about what sin is. And in 1 John 3:4, where it talks about what sin is, it says, everyone practicing sin also is practicing lawlessness. And sin is the breaking of the Torah. Now, the Torah is the first 5 books of the Bible. It's known as the foundation of all scripture. And those people that are living against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, which is another word for Torah, those are the ones that are sinning. That's what sin is, according to right there, 1 John 3:4. Now, here's the thing when I say this. It's not living in sin that's the major issue. There are many people that have accepted Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, as your Messiah and Savior, and your heart has repented. And you have turned your ways. You've learned to love what he loves and hate what he hates. But many of us still struggle with the flesh. We have a battle going on with inside us. We have some form of lack of faith because of what we've seen or what we've been through. And all of this equals this spiritual warfare that's going on. But we still hate what he hates. We hate the sins of this world. We hate the sins that the Bible describes as a sin and calls an abomination. That's not people that are practicing lawlessness. People that are practicing lawlessness are people who love sin. And if we think about that, we think about practice makes perfect. Well, those people are practicing living in sin so they could become a perfectionist at that. Living in sin, living against the words of our Creator. That's who our Creator hates. He helps and loves people that are looking to repent and turn. He's not looking for perfection. He's looking at the heart of people that truly desire to follow his ways. And they might have been deceived. They might have struggles. but they don't like their sin. They want to separate from their sin. But as it says here in 1 John 3:4, it says, everyone practicing sin. Sin is, as a practice, is people that continuously do these things over and over again and have no desire to change. And the scriptures are clear, folks. And when you hear this, remember, I'm not talking about people that sin because we all sin. I'm talking about people that love sin. There's a big difference there between the person that struggles with it and desires to get out of it, or the people that love it. And here's what it says. It says, everyone practices sin. And here's what I say. Our wonderful creator Yahweh loves those who love him, but he hates those who love sin. You got that? He hates those who love sin. Now, somebody that don't know the scriptures, or just they haven't taken the time out to read the scriptures, will hear that and they'll say, well, our creator doesn't hate. It's all about love. No, the scriptures are clear that he has no passion or love for people that practice sin and want to continue to make perfection out of practice and sin. Folks, let me say this. We're saved by the blood of Yeshua, the one you call Jesus. We're saved by his blood and his blood only. We can't work our way to salvation. We don't practice righteousness or live righteously so we can be saved. No, we can never be righteous enough to receive the gift that Yeshua gave us in dying for us. However, we don't desire to be righteous and follow the guidelines and instructions, the Torah of our Creator, to be saved. We desire to do them because he told us that's how we should live and what we should do, and we should keep them because we are saved. That's the difference. You know, we grew up loving the fleshly desires of this world before we were born again, but when you're born again, something is supposed to change your heart. You know, I have sodomites contact me all the time, and they say, well, you know, does God hate me because I'm a sodomite? And I say, well, it's not that he hates you because you're a sodomite, but, you know, he hates you because you're not willing to change from your evil desires and your evil ways. And they say, but I was born this way. I said, look, I was born a sinner, and so was all of us. But we have a choice. We can continue to live in our sin, or we could change from our ways and be born again. And that's what he wants us to do. And if we do it and we still struggle with our sin, that's one thing. But to practice sin, justify it's okay, and live according to the world's ways, and take cheerful pleasures in all these things that are happening that go against his word, that's what he hates. And he doesn't just hate the sin. He hates the sinner who practices sin and loves sin. So we need to turn. We need to read, and we need to repent and turn from our ways. That's what we need to do, folks. So if you know somebody out there who is living against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, and you bring it to them and say, you know, that doesn't go according to his word. That's not what his word says. And they refuse to study it out, or they study it out and they refuse to change. Well, you've done your part. You let them know. You can continue praying for them, but now it's up to them. And the scriptures are quite clear. It says, today I bring before you life and death. Choose life so you may live. So we all have this amazing choice, but we saw what it said in the scriptures when they were presented with this choice. It says, and the people answered not a word. There's no neutrality with our Creator, folks. We're either for him or against him. And if you do not answer a word and choose life, you are against him. Many people out there today are supporting or cheering on the murder of 3,000 babies a day in the United States alone. They're cheering on the abomination of sodomite marriages taking place. They're cheering on all these things that the scriptures call abominations. But there are many other people out there that are just deceived. They're not cheering that on. They just don't know any better, and they're just walking zombies. And they call themselves Christians because they said a prayer once in their life. It goes beyond that, folks. We have to continue to read his word and ask him to lift the scales from our eyes, because we know that's what his will is for us to see the truth, but our heart has to be there, and then he'll lift the scales from our eyes, and he'll reveal the truth for us, so we can no longer continue to be deceived by the enemy. That's what we got a desire to do. And, you know, you might be driving right now, you might be listening on a radio station via the internet, or wherever you're hearing this message, you know, you might be thinking and start feeling uncomfortable when I tell people, look, the law is not dead. You know, works are not dead. You know, we have to realize that, you know, the whole idea of grace versus law is nowhere, it's not a biblical concept. It's grace with law. You know, you refer to the law, it's Torah, so it's grace and Torah. He gave his son to die for us unconditionally so we could have life and get a second chance to do this right. And that's what we have. And he's coming back not for the sinners, he's coming back for the righteous. So even though he unconditionally gave his son to die for us the first time, well, now there's conditions in accepting that gift. We have to desire to live a righteous life. And he'll help us. He'll help us get it done. But we can't desire to do nothing and expect something to change. And that's what happens. But our heart needs to change. We need to change. And we need to understand that. Let's go to our Bible in 1 John. In 1 John 2:15 it says, "Do not love the world, nor the things of this world." Well, folks, those things are unrighteous living. That's it. The drunkenness, the immorality, the immodesty, the homosexuality, and the lying, and the cursing. It says, do not love these things of this world. Everything in the scriptures that says will keep us from getting into the kingdom are things of this world. And it says, do not love the things of this world. It says, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So it's not just about the result or what's coming out of us, because again, we struggle with things, and if the struggle's long enough, we will prevail and we will overcome it. If we have faith, the enemy flees at our faith. But those that are weak, the enemy plays around with us. But he says it there again, if you love the things of this world, the Father is not in him. Then it goes on to say in verse 16, because all that which is in this world, the lust of the flesh, that's it, the lust of the flesh, folks, is something so many of us desire today to fulfill, that we don't give our Creator's word time, we don't have faith in his word, because, you know, we're looking for the lust of the flesh, and that's what's happening out there today. So it says, because all that which is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the lust of life, is not of the Father, but is of this world. We have to separate ourselves from this world. That's what being set apart is about. Now, we can hang around sinners to teach them, to set an example. For example, I go out street preaching, and I'm amongst many sinners there in the street. And people say, well, don't you sin as well? No, I don't practice sin, and I don't love sin. So I go out there in the street with many sinners that love sin, and I go out there and I proclaim the good news to them. You know, that's my goal if I'm going somewhere, especially if there are sinners are around. And even if there are non-sinners, to make people righteously doing what they should be doing, is to say, look, I need to let people know the truth, the good news about Yeshua, the one you call Jesus. We need to let them know that he died for them. But you got people, they have no problem going up to a stranger and asking a stranger for directions, how to get somewhere. But they have a problem going up to the stranger to let the stranger know that Yeshua died for them. No, folks, we need to let him know. Verse 17 says, again, we're in 1 John, now up to 2:17, it says, and the world is passing away and its lust, but the one doing the will of Elohim abides forever. The will of our Father. See, when I pray, I don't pray that, oh, please heal Jimmy, or please heal Mikey or Jane or Carol. No, I say, Father, I pray that your will is done in our lives. Scales would be lifted from our eyes. We would see your will, and you will give us strength to deal with your will. That your will become our will, so we no longer have the desires of this world. We have your desires in our heart to fulfill. And we hate sin. We hate the unrighteous things of the world. Because it says right here, again in this verse, in 1 John 2:17, the world is passing away, and the lust. And it's lust, but the one doing the will of Elohim abides forever. The one doing, you know, it also says in Deuteronomy, it says, do not add or take away from my commandments, but keep them. You see, it's an action that has to take place. We have to do the commandments. I'll submit to you that most Christians don't even know what the commandments are. And many Christians are deceived to believe that we only have to follow 10 commandments. And many Christians are deceived to believe there's only 2 commandments to fulfill. And even more Christians are deceived to believe we don't have to do anything with any commandments because our Creator died for us, so we're free to live in sin. Now, they won't come out and say that, but they certainly use in their actions, they use His blood is an excuse to live in sin, but that's not what it was for. He died for us so that we would turn and repent and see the light and become a light in the darkness. Doing the will of Elohim. So if you, in the Bible it says clearly, if you want the blessings, amazing blessings, and all will be well with you, all you have to do is live righteously. Live righteously. That's it. Now, what we conceive as blessings and what our Creator conceives as blessing is might not always match up, but when our will becomes His will and our desires become His desires, trust me and you that He will bless you abundantly, as His Word says, and He can't go against His Word. So we desire to follow His Word, follow His will, and we are blessed. But the opposite side of that is clear in Scripture. If we go against that and live against that, it says we will be cursed. Curses will come upon us and our family. So we have to learn the word and keep it and study it diligently and not forget it, because as it says, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea 4:6. My people destroyed for lack of knowledge. But then it goes on to say, because you have rejected me, I reject you from being priest for me. Since you have forgotten the guidelines and instructions or the Torah of your Elohim, I also forget your children. So not only now will you suffer, but your children will suffer as well for going and living against the words of our Creator. See, when He says do not add or take away, but keep them, He means it. You don't need to add, like the many of the people in the Judaism will add to the word. They'll add to the guidelines and the structure. You don't need to take away, like many of the Christians. They'll completely wipe away the instructions of our Creator. It says, no, don't add or take away, but keep them. And then again, in the scripture it says, you know, those that love me will keep my commandments. And then in return, He says, my commandments shall not be burdensome. So you might think, well, this guy sounds like a legalistic telling me to keep the guidelines and instructions of our Creator and follow them the best we can or having a desire to do so. Nobody could do that. How dare he tell me that? Because my church says we don't have to do any of that, because all that was nailed to the cross and we don't have to do any of that. Folks, that is a lie. That is a lie from the devil, and that is not true at all. We have to keep the guidelines and instructions of our Creator to the best of our will. We need to have a desire to keep them. And the only way we're going to have a desire to keep them is to continue to learn and understand. Look, the Bible says it clearly. The Torah is our schoolmaster. Well, I want to learn from my schoolmaster. I don't want to throw them away. I don't want to kill them and bury them. I want to learn from them and see what they have to say. This is what Yeshua taught. This is what Timothy taught. This is what Paul taught. This is what all the people in the Renewed Covenant taught. As it says, Paul wrote to Timothy, he wrote, you know, all the words of these scriptures are profitable for man. Do you know when he wrote that, what he was talking about? He was talking about the Torah, the law, the guidelines and instructions. There wasn't a New Testament at the time. When Jeremiah gave the new covenant, it would be that the covenant was taken off our paper, our stone, and put onto our hearts so we would know it by heart. So that's what we need to do, folks. We need to learn it. You know, you should be stirred up right now because you've been lied to. And it's time you've come out of Babylon. It's time you've come out of Babylon and you've done some history lessons and really read the Bible for yourself. Because if you're going through any trials in your life right now, or is anything in your life right now that isn't as good as it should be, or you think it could be better, you have to question yourself. Am I doing the will of my Father? Am I doing His will? And what is His will? That's a great question, folks, because it says right there in verse 1 John 2:17, the world is passing away in its lust, but the one doing the will of Elohim will abide forever. So if I'm hearing that, if I'm driving my car right now, or if I'm listening to this over the internet and I'm hearing that, the first thing I'm going to say to my mind is, what is His will? And did you learn in a church what His will was? Or did you read His own word about Him and learn what His will was? Because it clearly talks about in the scripture what His will is and how we should be living according to His word. That's what we got to understand. People say His word was done away with or it was changed. No, it wasn't. And you think about, even if you know the Ten Commandments, even if you know one commandment, are you desiring to keep it, to fulfill it, to live up to it? Or are you just using an excuse, well, I don't have to do that? See, we have to get right with His word, folks, if we want Him to be right with us. And our actions speak louder than our words. And, you know, don't be sitting there saying, I don't have to do any of this. He knows my heart. You know, that's not a good thing that He knows your heart. I mean, our hearts are evil and our fleshly desires are evil, what we desire. You know, I mean, our heart should change before we're happy. He knows our heart and he looks at our heart. And that's what I do. I go out there and I teach this to people and I do my best to let people know this. And I have a strong desire to go out there on the street and preach this word and let people know, because it's one thing for me to go to a congregation or an assembly or a church and talk about our Creator's word. These people have it in their hand. And yes, they need to be motivated to read it because many of them have just ignored it for so long and they need to know what it says. They need to have that knowledge, because when it says in the scriptures, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, they're not talking about worldly knowledge, folks. We all have worldly knowledge. They're talking about my people destroyed for lack of knowledge of the Torah, the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And we need to learn that if we want to have life, if we want to have long life, peace and blessings and shalom upon us. That's what we need to do. So it's my desire to go and let people know this and let people know not what I think or what I believe, but let people know what the Bible truly has to say about many of these topics that so many people have either forgotten or been deceived to think they're done away with and all this information. But when I go out there to the street, it's a whole new ballgame, because I just want to let people know that somebody died for them so they could have life. And I want people to pick up a Bible and read and repent and realize that. And repent means to turn your ways and turn from your desires. So I get out there, I travel around the world, and right now I'm in West Palm Beach, Florida, and every Thursday night, if you're listening on a local radio station, if the weather's nice, I get out on Clematis by night, and I go out there and street preach around 8 o'clock on Thursday nights. I'm out there usually. That's if the weather's nice, but I'll be leaving town in a couple of weeks, and I'm going to be traveling all over the country, so I won't be there too much longer, and I'll be back eventually. But wherever there's a crowd, wherever there's people, we have to proclaim the good news. And one thing I am not going to be guilty of is every single person I know in my life knows who I am, what I do, and how passionate I am about it. And that is sharing the gospel of Yeshua and letting them know somebody died for them. And you have to question yourself and ask yourself, if everyone I know or you know out there is a believer or not, if somebody has to ask you or question, are you a believer, you're not doing a good enough job, because they need to know that you are so appreciative and you've accepted Yeshua, the one you call Jesus, your Messiah, and they need to go and do the same thing. We need to get this right, and we need to let people know, because eventually everyone's going to get it. Everyone's going to eventually understand that we need to keep the guidelines and instructions, and it's not about a grace versus law, it's grace with law. We need to get, everyone's going to get it, but the problem is many people are going to get it because it's going to be too late, and we don't want that to happen. We want them to get it now. So on my website, which is TorahLifeMinistries.org, that's Torah, T-O-R-A-H, LifeMinistries.org, I have thousands of videos helping people and showing people what the Bible says. Now, what they do with that's up to them. That's your information I'm giving you. TorahLifeMinistries.org. On Friday nights, you could join me online. We have a live Google Hangout. So if you're looking for fellowship or you want to get online and you want to talk to a whole bunch of people, if you just go to my website and you send me an email, I could send you the link for Friday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern time, where we get on the radio and we let people know. Not only on the radio, we get on the internet and we have a wonderful time hanging out there for a couple hours every Friday night. And if you're in locally in the South Florida, we have a home fellowship that meets 3 o'clock on Saturdays as well. My lecture schedule where I'll be speaking will be online on the internet at TorahLifeMinistries.org. But I have such a passion about this because I am understanding, and I'm so excited, because if you're standing on a corner and a cop pulls up and somebody pulls out a gun and pulls that trigger, you're in trouble. But what would happen if you're standing on a corner and somebody, car pulls up to you and somebody pulls that trigger, but right before that bullet hits you, somebody jumps in front of that bullet and goes down. And then that guy gets in a car and speeds away. And here you are standing with a dead body in front of you. And here the police come. Are you going to tell the police what happened? And all these strangers come. And you're on the news. Are you going to tell everyone what happened? This person just died for you so you could have a life. You're going to tell everybody that. You're going to remember that situation every day for the rest of your life. You're going to have emotions stirred up every time you think about that. You're never going to forget that. And that's a stranger. That's a stranger dying for you. Now, what if it was one of your loved ones dying for you? You'll remember that person even more. The fact is, folks, that somebody did die for us. And we just take that as a cliche. We don't even think about that much anymore. If you have a friend or family member that died for you, you get tears in your eyes when you think about that. And if it's recent, you think about that all the time. Well, we have a Savior that died for all of us so we could have life. And we got to take this more seriously, folks. We have to, because time is running out. We have to go. We have to stand. We have to speak. And I'll tell you this, street preaching isn't for everyone, but sharing the gospel is the responsibility of every believer out there. And whether it's standing on a corner preaching it, or whether it's going on Facebook and putting a post out about it, or if it's sharing this radio program, or if it's something, it's letting people know that you know that somebody died for them so they could have life and they could have a second chance. If a building is burning and people are about to get suffered and died from that, you're going to be screaming and yelling for them to get out if you see what's going on. Well, there's a lot of people, folks, in great danger out there. And we can't take this message any slower anymore. We got to start speeding things up and letting people know, because time is running out, folks. And I'm going to do my best to let people know they're in danger and to help them. And I'm not here to upset people, but if people are going to get upset, well, so be it. There are a lot of people during the time of Noah that got upset when he was telling them to get in the boat. But they didn't want to listen. They didn't want to believe him. And look what happened. Well, a lot worse is about to happen again. And I'm letting people know. So that's what I'm doing. And I appreciate you for taking the time to listen to today's message. You can go to my website again, TorahLifeMinistries.org, if you want to contact me. And wherever you're listening to this, if it's over the internet, there's many stations that are going to carry this program. Or if it's on WCNO Radio 89.9 FM, I'll be on this station 11:30 a.m. every Saturday morning. If you're just driving and you want to hear it again, that's 11:30 a.m. every Saturday morning on 89.9 FM in the South Florida area. So I want to take the time out now to thank you all and to let you know I'm praying that you would seek a wonderful Creator Yahweh's will for your life. And you would continue to desire to learn what His will is, and that your will will become His will. And you would have such a passion and a desire to fill that. And you would let go of your will and your desires, your fleshly desires, folks. We can let go of that and we can realize, we can do all things through Him who strengthens us when we try to do His will and not ours. And we stop seeking our will and what we want, and we start seeking what He wants. And that's how we could have a glorious, glorious time and just so much peace in our lives. All right, until then, everybody, I want to wish everybody a great Sabbath, which is the seventh day Saturday, which would be today if you're listening here on a local radio station. And I pray that people would read their Bibles and repent. Shalom, shalom.